Welcome to the Flight of the Knicks podcast. I'm Holly here on Gadigal Land in Sydney. We've got Denise Duffy in Taupo, and we've got Alex Brooke Conway in Tafanganui Atara, Wellington. We wanted to have a chat about the women's games that we had in the last week or so. So just to run through those, we played Sydney FC in Porirua Park. We lost 4-2. The goal scorers were Cox and Speckmeyer. Then we played on the Wednesday night, Adelaide at Porirua Park again. 4-0 win, goals by Speckmeyer, Taylor, Robertson, Mickey Foster. And then just this last weekend, we had a match in Canberra versus Canberra United, and we had a 1-0 loss. Let's start off with that Sydney FC game. So that was at Porirua Park. Good turnout, great atmosphere there. It's great to experience that in person. That was the first time I'd had a match there. Really, really, really good atmosphere. Really great stadium. Definitely recommend that. I think the main things that stand out for me in that game was that beautiful Sydney Vine volley or half volley opening goal. That was a thing of absolute beauty. And I actually ran into her after the match while they were waiting for their bus. And I said, that's got to be one of the goals of the season. She's like, I hope it's one of the goals of the season. It was absolutely beautiful. I think one of the other things that stuck out for me was we had some kind of bad defensive lapses that caused the two goals. So one was poor Tiana Jaba, the own goal. The other one was the goal that they got their fourth, where we felt like we were starting to make a comeback. So they were 3-0 up, and then I believe we had scored two. I was like, okay, this is doable. They put away that fourth, which was a moment where there were multiple defenders standing around the ball, but nobody wanted to take ownership to clear it. And then who else? I think it was Courtney Vine pounced on it, and a goal came of that. The last thing I want to, while I'm on my long spiel, I want to talk about is Courtney Vine. What a treasure. We gave her shit all game. All game we gave her shit, and she gave us shit back, and was very nice about the whole thing after the match. So well done to Courtney Vine. Did you guys have any thoughts or responses to that Sydney FC game?
I too am on the Vine train. Like, what a treasure. We need more people like her and her caliber playing in the league, you know, and her temperament, you know, like she teased you back, you know, who are you? You know, hey, you know who I am, because I'm pretty freaking good. You know, I agree with everything you said about the match. You were there. Holly gets around. I love it. And it looked like a great atmosphere and just a great night to go out and watch some football. It was a bummer that, you know, there were a few mental lapses.
Yeah, Courtney Vine, what a player. I kind of go on the opposite train for you, Denise. I think it's a shame she's stuck in the A-League Women's. I think she could do amazing things overseas. It's a shame for other A-League clubs like the Phoenix, and it's also a shame for European football not to have a player like her bouncing around over there. And after the game, she was amazing as well. She went around and signed pretty much everyone's shirt and did loads of autographs. I got a video from her for one of my friends who really looks up to her. And yeah, she's a great player.
I actually was surprised she ended up in the A-League again after the World Cup she had. You know, I kind of wonder if she had a few opportunities, because she definitely made a name for herself in that. It was the penalty shootout, right? In the one match that she she had ice in her veins. Yeah, I think it goes back to, what is this league? Is it a development league? Is it a place that, you know, we're trying to draw really high quality athletes back to? I don't know. It's a big question. Very, very big question. We do not have to answer it, but selfishly, I want some of the best players in the world hanging out around here and playing in front of us. I don't want it just to be a feeder. I want it to be a destination. And I do think we did get some quality players who see this both as a stepping stone, but also a destination. And we need to continue to market it as such. at least for the Wellington Phoenix.
I think there's a bit of a mix of what makes a destination league. One of the big ones is money. And you have to have a lot of money to pour into the game to make that worthwhile. Like if you can get paid five times as much or even twice as much in a different league than at the level of pay of women's football, you'd be pretty silly not to take it unless you had really good reasons not to. The other measure for me is the level of competition. So you really need to have a matter where a situation where competition is really high across the board. So you can come. Courtney Vine does deserve to play in a quote unquote better league, and I think it shows that she's absolutely one of the best players in the league. She's probably the best player in the league, and we are lucky to have her. But if you don't have enough of that environment of high challenge, it's like if you're a very good footballer, you'd want probably, if possible, to go elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me who would end up at Racing Louisville first, Millie Clegg or Courtney Vine, I would have said Courtney Vine. I'm absolutely thrilled that Millie Clegg is at Racing Louisville. I mean, that's awesome. And I'm thrilled for her. And she's going to develop and she's going to, like, really be an amazing player. But I, Courtney Vine does deserve to sort of get paid more and get in there with the best of the best.
She's got to be one of the best paid, like domestic players, if not one of the best paid players in the league. I mean, I don't know, but you would think that with Sydney FC's got plenty of money, that the, because I assume that there are exemptions for, what's the word, for when you've got the big star players who come through, the
Yeah.
marquee players. So I'm assuming there's marquee players in the women's salary cap. I'm not sure. I mean, a lot of people have personal reasons to stay in a particular country. Australia's quite far away. It's a lot of travelling if you've, I have no idea, like if you've got a relative that you need to spend time with or just a lifestyle that you want to maintain, those are good reasons to stay as well.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it does come down to money. And especially for when you want to attract other players to the league, the A League, it's got a salary cap of 600 grand. You speak about marquee players. We're not sure if they are included in that or not, or if there even are marquee players. But 600 grand isn't that much. Riley Foster, I think she took a 50% pay cut from Liverpool, wherever she was, before the Phoenix coming to the Knicks. So it is quite a it's quite a challenge to get it over here and to make it work, especially since female footballers, they don't really get paid much anywhere. And footballers' careers are quite short. They're only like, what, 15 years if you're lucky. So there is a massive incentive to make as much money as you can in that 15 years.
It is a big question, and we can definitely come back to that and talk about that in the future. We'll move on to a much, much happier note of that week of games. Wairarapa Park again, much smaller crowd, but still great atmosphere. Drubbing of Adelaide United.
How fun was
Amazing.
that?
We got a. This is one of the nice things about being so close to the bench and the players, and they can hear you. Is we wound up with this really like quite a few minutes long Paul Temple's Yellow Army chant in the fever zone. And I asked him afterwards, "Did you hear it?" And he said he'd heard it, and he seemed, like quite chuffed about being able to hear that because it was just such an emphatic game. And then you've got people like Kate Taylor and Mickey Foster scoring goals as well. And you just don't see an awful lot of that. So absolutely, absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I was so happy for Mickey Foster. So happy. And Kate Taylor as well. I mean, are those are two, at least from my eyes, two fan favorites that just get in there and they play and they smile and they really exemplify what it's like to be a Phoenix player, and the fun parts of it, and the brave parts of it, and that was just a really fun, brave match. that the Phoenix had. I was really pumped for them.
Yeah, I think it's great. You're great monkey off the shoulders. It's been a while since we've been the team emphatically like that. Even probably you can go back to early season. We beat the Wanderers 3-0 away from home. But it was at Porirua Park. Holly, you were here for two games at Porirua Park. Interested to hear your thoughts on Porirua Park and how you found it, and how it, compares to some of the Australian grounds. Because you've spoke negatively about some of those grounds before.
I mean, I have. No. There's a lot that goes into making a ground good, right? Obviously, there's the really clear stuff that affects players the most, like the quality of the pitch, the quality of the facilities, and then there's things that affect the fans the most, which again is like food options, quality of facilities, quality of the stands, how easy it is to generate an atmosphere. I loved Porirua Park. It is a breath of fresh air after being in Sky Stadium, and I love Sky Stadium for lots of reasons. But it's very difficult to build an atmosphere in there. You just think if I hate oval stadiums. Just I hate oval stadiums. No, I really, really liked it. I think maybe facilities wise, it's maybe not great, but the stand is plenty for what you need. And there is the hill at the far end. I don't know what the record crowd has been for Porirua Park, but at this point, like you could get a very good crowd in there, and you wouldn't be packed out. I think the only thing that stands between Porirua Park and being a really big venue is just how far away it is. It is a pain to get to. So I walked between the station and the stadium, and I can do it in like 20 minutes, but it's not close. It is not close. It's definitely doable if you want to do a nice stroll, if you don't have like little kids with you that are going to complain, or you're not injured, or I don't know, elderly, something like that. So it is unfortunate that it's so far away. And the club promised shuttles, which did not appear to have materialized, so that's something to follow up, I think, in the fan rep group. But yeah, I think it's kind of like Brisbane Roar being out at Redcliffe. Much better stadium for them, much better size, too far away. But I think the club, from speaking to club admin, they are keen to come back to Porirua Park again next season, because I think that has actually worked really well for them, despite the drop in attendance. Alex, do you have any thoughts about Porirua Park generally?
Yeah, pretty much. I just agree with everything you said there. You mentioned the shuttles. I don't think there were any shuttles for the Sydney game, and for the Adelaide game, they promised them, and it didn't happen. I tried to get on public transport, got on the wrong bus, ended up going the wrong way, and then was about 5 minutes late. So that wasn't ideal. The bus stop's really weird at the station. But what happened again in the future? I think if they get that public transport, or if they get the shuttle right to the stadium, it can work out. And Metlink sometimes replaces the trains with buses. I know that's happening this weekend, which makes it a bit slower to get there. But a lot of the players and stuff live out there, and there are probably a few fans that live out there as well. So I think it's fine.
Yeah, someone's making a sarcastic comment or a bit of a jibe at the, because the a lot of the Americans or the visa players, they live like they flat together in Porirua, and they drove to the stadium. And like someone was like, they do not need to drive, laughing because it's the stereotypical American thing that they. I don't know how close they were, but they drove despite the fact that they probably did not need to drive. So that's it is good. It's good to have that kind of thing. I don't know what parking is like, because the main car park in front of the ground of the main street, that's all blocked off by the club, so that is used for parking for officials, for players, for coaches, and things like that. But yeah, so it's I think location wise, there are it's not perfect. I really desperately wish that we had a ground like that within Wellington. But Porirua have been, I think, pretty good for the team for that. And you know, the bits and pieces that seem to have been problems in terms of the quality of the pitch have improved. So I do look forward to the Knicks being back there next season. Assuming none of us wake up with $1 billion tomorrow and just buy a fucking, like, buy land and build a stadium fit for purpose for both teams in the middle of Wellington, if only. Any more thoughts on either Porirua Park or Adelaide?
I will say it's surprising on TV when I watched it. It comes through fine. I would like a few more camera angles because I want that for all the women's matches. Just more camera angles. But I love that the crowd was really loud, and on TV you could hear the crowd, and that was really cool. And Holly's always in the arc, with and that's great. So cool. Yeah, I good atmosphere.
I think with us beating Adelaide so comprehensively, feels really good, right? I just looked at the score. It's the 70th minute of Adelaide Jets, and Jets are up 6-0. So I think we probably should have thrashed Adelaide. I don't know what's happened to them this season.
Well, I
They
mean,
don't have a bad lineup, but anyway, what's the
it's
thing?
easy to get deflated, right? It's the end of the season.
That might have been what happened with us at Canberra. Do we want to move on to Canberra? So, Canberra, we played in Canberra at MacKellar Park. A good talking about those little stadiums. I quite like MacKellar Park. 1-0 loss. The very absolutely unstoppable Michelle Heyman, who would also be on the list of one of the best players in the entire league. I went to this game as well. Dean and I, and we had like a decent few people there in Canberra that that show up. A few people who couldn't come, who normally come. So too bad for them. But yeah, this is the kind of game we could have won. I don't know what. I don't know what
Yeah,
went wrong.
so first of all, Holly, you're a saint for going to all these matches. You, Saint Holly, Saint Dean, really, like, I don't, just thank you on behalf of the Wellington Phoenix, fans, to show up. I mean, you knew, they knew the night before that they weren't going to end up in finals. So what did you do? You went anyway, and
Of
that's
course.
amazing. Very cool. Did it affect them? Probably. I mean, how could it not? And I mean, we can beat Canberra. We can beat them. I mean, that's a team we can beat. I mean, Michelle Heyman's amazing, and she showed us why she's so amazing with that header goal and why she's the front runner for the Golden Boot or whatever it's called in this league. But as a totality, we could beat that team. And maybe they needed a bit of a lift given the current events with the team, and Holly, maybe you can speak a bit about that. But that was a little, as a fan, just a little sad and frustrating, to know that they didn't quite, and that Australian sort of getting another win in Australia like they really should.
Yeah, I think just frustration is the thing, is the word of the day, really. I think if this was a more meaningful game, we maybe would have played a bit better, come out of more fire. The fact that we were already out of finals by the time we got to this game, you can't really put too much onus on the players to come out playing like their life depends on it. But not scoring against Canberra is a bit disappointing. They've conceded 46 goals so far this season. You just want to be putting goals past them. 1-0, a 1-0 defeat is it doesn't really look the best for us.
Canberra is one of those teams where they must have like the record for like highest scoring games across the season, like most goals per game, like for and against potentially even. And what I think of, what's brought to mind for me when I watch Canberra play usually is, can you imagine like two boxers going at each other, but no one's like defending? So no one's got their guard up. So you're just smashing each other in the face, like just sma like no guard, no guard, just haymakers at each other. And I think that's the best way to describe how Canberra United has played this season, is it's just high scoring both ends. It's like honestly, it's like boxes just smashing each other in the head, and nobody's actually trying to defend themselves. I don't know. And I think Canberra wanted it more on Sunday, and I can see why. It's disappointing for that to be the case, but they did seem to want it more. It is really unfortunate what's happening with Canberra. Basically, so Canberra's a little bit unusual. It's the only standalone women's club. So they've got only a women's team, unlike everybody else. They've been run by Capital Football. So there's state and territory associations throughout Australia. So there's like Football Australia, which is the overarching country one, and then all you've got all those bodies in between. So basically, Canberra's Football Federation owns and runs Canberra United. So it's not any kind of private owner. And it's quite a complicated situation because it means that, I mean, the team's being run at a loss and it's being propped up, I believe, at least partly by fees of grassroots players and NPL level players who play in Canberra. And some of the funding has come from elsewhere. So it's coming from, I believe, the ACT government has been putting funding in. And so funding doesn't just come from there, but this has been a challenge for a while. And recently they shut down the Canberra United Academy, which is not a good sign to have a club doing that. And again, it was a funding thing. So then came this idea of, well, Canberra should get a men's team and they should basically become Canberra United, or they should get the women's license as well. Unfortunately, the uncertainty around that has meant that basically Canberra players and fans don't even know whether they actually have a team next season. And that's really shocking to feel like that's the case. Some of the players have spoken out about that, particularly Michelle Heyman, about how frustrating that is to just not know. I mean, this Canberra is such an important part of Dub history. You know, they're the standalone club. They used to win a lot at the beginning. They've brought through some really incredible players. They've Jitka Komplova won the league with them. So they're so important, and I think nobody in their right mind wants them to fold. But there's all this uncertainty because no one seems to want to buy the men's license to take on the women's team. With the Jets and Glory, so they were ownerless. So those are teams that have both men's and women's. They were ownerless for quite a while. And the APL and some clubs were actually propping them up so that they wouldn't fold. But the APL has said this time they will not prop up Canberra United, despite how comparatively how little that costs. They have refused to say, okay, you know what, while this is being sorted out, we will find the money to keep you afloat. Now, I would understand if they said that every time a club was in trouble, but they have been spending, I don't, millions and millions of dollars. It would be millions and millions of dollars funding Glory, so Perth Glory and Newcastle Jets, so that they don't fold, but they don't want to turn around and do the same thing for a standalone women's team. And I think that's bad. I'm not gonna upset Denise with naughty words, but that's shocking. And
It's sexist. I mean, it's sexist. I mean, men will say, oh, women sports don't make money, but
the men
then,
don't either. The men's teams don't make money either. Like they're all being run at a loss. Like, and apparently, so I heard somewhere, I don't know if that's true, it costs $1.5 million a year to keep Canberra United afloat. And that's a lot of money, for sure. And someone was saying that that's basically what it costs to have VAR in the men's league. Like, we should just ditch VAR and pay for Canberra United. And it's just, whatever, however you feel about VAR, it's ridiculous that there was this willingness to prop up other entities and not. And yeah, so I made a, oh, you probably can't see it because of the thing. I made a giant Save Canberra United banner, and I'm going to go to the Dub on Sunday, and I'm going to try and display prominently. And there have been a lot of people. There's been a petition that's signed by thousands of people. So we absolutely do not want Canberra United to fold. That would be absolutely gutting.
And It must be so. I can't imagine it feels the best to be a Canberra United supporter at the moment. You know, the Knicks went through a similar scenario back, I don't know when. I was a little kid then. I remember kind of reading the news articles, and I didn't like it. You know, I'd been to probably a few Phoenix games by then, and even I knew about it. So the Canberra supporters, you know, it's not the best. The Phoenix were supporting Newcastle, I think, and we've been getting a lot of props for that. I think we need to support Canberra as well. You know, they're such an important team to the A-League. I think there's been something with the men going on for ages. And there's talk about the men becoming a separate entity to the women, which I think would be the worst scenario, pretty much. If you buy the men, you got to support the women as well. Yeah, like we need to save Canberra United.
There's so much to say about standalone women's teams and the women's team with the men's team. I can see pros and cons. Where I come from, the new wave is women standalone teams. Those are the best investments, and people are making boatloads of money off of those, wheeling and dealing those. And it's sad that a country that hosted the World Cup, who has invested in football, that in their capital, right? Is letting this team deteriorate due to lack of leadership and lack of innovation and lack of money. Get creative. There are things to do. 1.5 million sounds like a lot, but it kind of isn't. There are ways to generate these funds creatively, and I feel bad for the team.
Yeah, the players, I think for the players, it's particularly bad. Just not even know whether you've got a contract next season. And what happens when there's an uncertainty? It's like, well, why would you not sign something if you got another offer elsewhere? If you're facing that much uncertainty about the future of your club, why would you re-sign? Why would you stay? You would leave. And I mean, I'd love to help Michelle Heyman. If there's no capital of Australia football team, I think she has to come and play for the capital of New Zealand football team. Just putting that out there. But I mean, this is just banter. This is just saying something silly for a rivalry. I don't want them to fail. Nobody wants them to fail. It's
No.
ridiculous. And it's
She'd look
hypocritical.
awesome in our new pride jerseys, though. You want to
Oh,
talk about those?
those are lit. Those are lit.
Very
And you can
cool.
buy them. You can pre-order them. There was a little bit of uncertainty about whether they would be able to be to buy them. You could buy them. Yep. Pre-order. And the match-worn ones will be auctioned off as well for a charity that I cannot remember off the top of my head, but it's a queer charity. That's so good. So one of the things that was really nice is that the fan representative group got to have a bit of input into the jersey. So the club had Paladin do mock-ups of basically the ideas that they had, and then we got to have some input on what design we thought was best as well. So
Nice.
amazing. And players also, they also get a say. So incredible.
Yeah,
Incredible.
I love the neck and the t -t 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 -t. Fantastic. Really cool stuff. Really good. What is it? There's a lot of grumpy people who just don't like pride and oh, I kind of want to wring their necks out there and just don't understand it. And I don't think it makes a great fandom for all these people dumping on pride stuff. Just my two cents. And we can leave it right there too. We don't
There's
have
a
to
lot of
go
those
into it.
people, and especially in New Zealand at the moment, there's been this stuff with Destiny, or as we let's say, Density Church, painting over rainbow things. And this just shows why we need it. And I mean, it's just wild that people would have a problem with, like, it's women's football, mate. Like, women's football is filled with openly gay people, like, wildly full of them. So many players on our team are queer. Like, if people want to pack a shit about it, whatever. So long as the comments are moderated online. So I don't like it, and we get a lot of this Megan Borg, who's someone we know over here, a big Dub fan, likes to point out every time a pro queer or some sort of social justice post is made by a club or by the league, and then they don't moderate the comments. And then there's all sorts of horrible stuff in the comments. So out there doing God's work, Megan, reminding people of that. It is a problem.
Yeah. Thank you.
But yeah,
Thank you,
usually you can just
Megan.
say those people can.
Yeah.
I don't know if it makes a difference, but she does it every time, being like, why have you not moderated the comments or turned them off?
Yeah, because these players end up being targets and even fans in the community. You feel like, ugh, all of a sudden you do something awesome and then there's just all this garbage and mean stuff after, and just like people who really just don't get it, and I you kind of like look at the post like shout it like whoa, run away. I feel for the comms team.
Yeah. That's a loveless, a thankless job, usually, no matter what happens.
Cool.
Any final thoughts about everything we've got? We should cover, we've got Wanderers tomorrow, right? At
Hey, do you know where the Wanderers are sitting in the table right now? I know they were kind of on the cusp, but
it would
not
have
anymore.
changed because of the Jets game, I would think.
They're in
Seven
sixth
now.
place.
So big match for them, right?
I'd pick. I think if we had something to play for, I'd pick us to win. But since we don't really have anything to play for, I don't think it changes where we finish on the table. Maybe we'll finish between 10th and 8th place. But to be honest, I just don't think the players will be very motivated for this one. Or it's a challenge to get them motivated if you want to look at it on the positive side. I think it'll kind of just be similar to the Canberra game, really.
Wanderers will be out for a win,
Yeah.
because they can still be caught by Melbourne Victory, who are playing Sydney on Sunday. So they will absolutely want to win. And I think, I mean, it's easy for us to think, oh, the Wanderers would beat them 3-0 last time. They had a really poor start to the season, presumably partly because their coach was sacked 10 days out from the beginning of the season. Their new coach seems to be doing fine, and they've improved very steadily, and they've actually become quite good. So it will be interesting to see how that pans out. But yeah, more to play for them than for us. Any other thoughts?
Nothing to lose. So, maybe they come out loose, they have some fun, they go for it. Yeah, the people who still have some legs, let's do it. I mean, I'm relentlessly positive around this kind of stuff, and they can do it. They can beat them. So, you guys, I'm predicting a win
I think we
because
can go either
it's
way.
ridiculous.
I'd love to see a win. I'd love to see the Vikings celebrate their team squish into sixth place, and to do that, that Western would not like. Although, if Western win tomorrow, they're in, basically, I think is how it works out. So Western, oh, maybe I'm wrong. Look, it'll be good. It's going to be an interesting last weekend with some of those matches. Any other final thoughts?
No, I think next pod we'll just kind of review the season. Also, we'll have some football ferns matches to check out. I mean, I actually will be in the South Island. Actually, no, I won't. Oh, I'll be very close to being in the South Island. I really wanted to get to those Ferns matches. So we'll take a look at those for sure, though.
I'm going to the second match against Thailand. So it'll be good. It's the first football match I will have been to in Christchurch. So looking forward to that.
Nice. And Holly, where are you going to any matches this next round?
Not obviously any next matches. I am going to go to the Sydney FC victory match on Sunday because that'll be a really interesting contest, and get to catch up with our Victory Vikings friends and display my Save Canberra United sign, which does not show up very well. I made
Yep, we can see
it.
that.
Very cool. Gotta display that, because honestly, Save Canberra United.
As you sit there in your fake apartment. All right, cool. All right,
Okay,
everyone.
take care. We'll see you around.